look at these little flowers in the teacup. Are you ready to roll chicken licking?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Rach.
And welcome to
Pop the Kettle On.
This is a podcast in which two rad gals pop the kettle on, pop our feet up, and have a chat about our life through the lens of pop culture. Lifing, adulting, relationships, work, parenting, being a woman, and basically all of the things.
It's a chat between friends that we share with you. We try to pop in some life lessons too.
So pop the kettle on.
And we'll bring the sugar.
Hi, Rach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
We're feeling very fancy this morning.
We are incredibly special today.
Well, and it's morning, first of all.
Yes.
This is very unusual for us.
Yes.
We're awake, we're out.
Way too early. Sunday morning.
Sunday morning
Hi,
record.
Everyone.
Good morning, everybody, and hello, everybody, whenever you're listening to us. We have the joy and the pleasure and I just can't even.
Privilege.
Privilege.
Honor.
Thank you. That's the word, of hanging out in Botanical Lab this morning in Bakery Lane in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane. And we are drinking delicious teas made by Linda. We're going to have to post these on our page because this thing that you have in front of you, Rach, is extraordinary.
I have a lavender latte.
You have a lavender latte.
A lavender latte.
Who knew that was a thing?
I did. Because
of course you did.
I've been following Botanical Lab for the last few months.
Yeah.
And they just post these amazing, gorgeous, beautiful photos of the teas that they make. So she's a florist here at Botanical Lab, and also just do bubble teas and amazing infusions. And so I have this like some kind of lavender concoction, which is bright blue and just tastes like lavender.
It's just exquisite.
And Nick has her usual.
I have my English breakfast tea, but I have it in the most beautiful teacup.
Yeah, and these glass teapots.
Glass teapots.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? They're amazing.
So I'm like a kid in a candy shop.
This I know. That's amazing. What it feels like. And it just smells amazing in here too because it's like tea and flowers and yeah.
All things good.
All things good, which is we haven't popped the kettle on. Linda popped the kettle on for us and we are very grateful that she did.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yeah. So she'll be plugged now because Linda is hosting the first tea festival and it's coming up this Saturday or Sunday. Shit, I've got the information. Fail.
Back we go to Facebook at Botanical Labs and we'll find it.
I want to say Saturday. I am coming. I'm going to be here because I think it's $10 a head, though you don't have to pay for that. But if you pay the $10, then you get a little Laneway Tea Festival cup.
Ooh.
And little goodie bags.
Ooh.
But I think they have other events like they're doing like tea reading and
oh, wow, really?
Yeah, just lots of tastings and things like that. So
Saturday the 5th of October from 10 until 4 in Bakery Lane. So, yeah, you can get a $10 VIP ticket, which gets you, as Rach said, the beautiful little tasting cup and a tote bag for all your goodies. Everybody loves a tote bag.
Tote
I'm
bag.
A little bit obsessed by tote bags.
Tote bag wonder.
So, yeah, 5th of October, those who are in Brisbane and who listened to us before then, get yourselves down here. And then there's also a Hidden Lanes festival that's happening October 26th, Saturday, October 26th, down here in the valley. So get yourself amongst it.
And if you haven't been to Bakery Lane, it's just like amazing. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful day today. Not too hot and sunny yet. We've got some clouds and some blue sky and just this little laneway is adorable.
It's adorable. So, thanks for the weather update. That's important. That's what we need right now.
It's early, Rach. We're awake and we're out. Come on.
And today we're talking The Bachelor.
We are. We are talking The Bachelor.
And we're going to both feel a little bit out of our depth, I think, but we'll give it a go. Because we've both not watched the most recent, what's it called?
Series. Yeah. I actually can't remember the last time I watched a series of The Bachelor, which is pretty funny because I suggested The Bachelor as a topic.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you did.
But I've been diving in since. Have you dived in since? Have you had a look?
Yes, I have. Yes. Oh. I've been doing some research. But it's just so – it's strange with The Bachelor. in all of these sort of like tacky reality shows.
Yeah.
Hope it's okay to say tacky.
I think it's pretty okay.
Highly dramatic, scripted.
Hashtag reality.
Mythology of finding love that's actually just about showcasing people's deep inner, struggles with their interpersonal difficulties and lack of self-worth.
Self-esteem issues.
under the guise of let's all find lasting love.
Yeah.
And it's just funny the way that, like, they're so addictive when you get hooked in. So it's kind of like if you watch one episode, you're hooked into the entire season. But if you manage to not watch an episode, then it just completely passes you by.
Yeah, it definitely did completely pass me by. I think the last time I watched must have been during Sophie Monk's Bachelorette season. God.
Yes.
Which I was slightly obsessed with. Yes. Also because, you know, I met Sophie Monk when she was a kid and I was a kid down the coast.
I haven't heard this story.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I have a Sophie Monk connection too.
Of course you do, because you're a coasty girl.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So she danced with a friend of mine from school who danced. And so, yeah, she came to a party one time. I don't know.
She came to a party very nice. And danced?
Well, no. I mean, she came to a party of this girl who was a dancer.
Oh, I see.
Yes, they were dancing together somewhere in a school, dance school or whatever.
Yeah. So this is like as a teenager?
As a teenager, yeah, absolutely. Pre-fame. Pop stars, yeah.
So how do you remember her then?
I just remember meeting this girl called Sophie and she's got
tall
a fairly distinctive
look. Striking and
then,
gorgeous.
Yeah, and then of course she was friends of mine worked at Movie World and she was working with them at Movie World doing the Marilyn Monroe impersonations and stuff like that. So, you know, you kind of remember because people keep that going, you know, my friend Sophie kind of thing.
Yeah. And of course, because I worked at Movie World.
Of course you did.
Yeah. But it was slightly, she was friends with my sister. Because my older sister worked at Movie World before me.
Yes.
And she was fabulous and did all the shows and stuff, my sister.
Ah.
So she did the Maverick show.
Ooh. I need to know more about this.
So she was whatever. Who's the, you know, the Maverick movie, Mel Gibson, Jodie Foster?
Yes.
So she was like the Jodie Foster type.
Amazing.
Thing. Or that wasn't, it was completely different, but it was Western. So let's call it the Maverick show. So she used to do that, and she used to do Batgirl.
Okay.
Alicia Silverstone's part.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to do dancing, and so she knew Sophie around the same time Sophie was doing Marilyn, so they were mixing in the same circles.
There you go.
Mm. And so I just worked on the rides.
Ah, you were a ride girl.
I was a ride girl. And it was just a really fun place to work.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because when those, like, singing shows started to all get off the ground, there was heaps of people from Movie World that you'd know in various seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a gorgeous friend who called Matt Chadwick.
Yes.
Shout out Matt Chadwick. He was in the first season of Idol.
Oh, right.
And he now, I still am on his Facebook and he's like in Tokyo Disney. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, he's doing all these shows and fantastic stuff.
I know, like his dad.
Matty, what? Stop it.
How did we not know each other?
I
just realized. I just closed that loop. I just realized who Matty Chadwick was.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know his dad, Tony. That's incredible.
He is the most beautiful man. He's so lovely.
Well, that makes sense. His mum and dad are lovely.
Yeah. So he used to work the rides at the same time as me.
There you go.
Anyway. Okay. The Bachelor. Sophie Monk. Loose associations. We've got it.
And we're back in the room. See, it is morning, everybody. We're very, very bright and sparky. The Bachelor.
Yes.
What does it tell us psychologically about the people that go on there and our addictive watching?
Fantastic question.
Hmm. That's one for you to answer, psychologist Rach.
This is the part where I admit to auditioning for Big Brother.
Excellent. I auditioned for Pop Stars version 2. Continue
did you?
On.
Of yes. course you did. Yay!
Go.
Okay. Well, because what I was going to say is that there is a window in which you can say that the first people volunteering for reality TV may not have known precisely what they were going to get.
Of course.
Themselves wrapped up in.
I completely understand that logic.
But every subsequent season after that, I think you're a bit of a fame whore in some way or another. You and I included. High
Absolutely. Five again. I do not dispute.
That's why we host our own podcast now.
That's right. We've discussed that already.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant, the idea that you go in blind and you know, you don't know what's going on, and that's fine.
Yes.
But even how do those people find their way to these things? That's another story.
I think it's gotten more sophisticated as the years have gone on, though, because even you can say first episode of The Bachelor in Australia, it had been running in the States for years and years and
years. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And so everyone kind of knows, you know.
The format.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So, look, I don't know. I think it's very – I remember being young. So it was in like my early 20s when I auditioned for Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking like, you know, like I was single, I was going to uni, mm-hmm. I was kind of living a little bit of a boring life in a sense, as in like I didn't have things I needed to step away from.
Yeah.
Like if I think about going on reality TV now.
Can you imagine?
Like Ben and I even think about going on The Block.
Yeah. But then there's three humans that have to be taken care of, and a house and a mortgage. And
how do you do that?
Yeah,
I think, how can you do that? And then I also think, like, that just the numbers of, like, you know, how many people try out for it and then how many actually get selected.
Yeah.
And then I also worry that, and maybe I'm more mature to worry about this, right? Whereas when I was in my early 20s, I didn't care so much about how I may be portrayed, or it's that whole, like, you don't think about this could be my legacy forever.
Yes.
You sort of just think this could be a fun experience.
Yeah. And it was less so about this could be my legacy forever anyway during that time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking late 90s, aren't we?
Yeah. I think so. Like, for me, it was kind of like adventure and a bit of fun. And I was like, you know, like, oh, people will scrutinize you. And I'm like, yeah, but that would be kind of interesting to see what people really think about you. And I think you don't assume back in those days, it wasn't sort of like the hero villain kind of thing either that we see so, like, obviously played out these days.
Yeah, big time.
Like those cooking shows, like the My Kitchen Rules and stuff, they probably would do it the worst, I reckon.
I know.
Kind of like, you know, dun dun dun, these are the evil cooking couple.
Evil people in the kitchen.
Yeah. And The Bachelor, like, even have the, when they're lining up to meet The Bachelor in that first show, it's kind of like, is there sweet kind of like, you know, Snow White and birds kind of playing?
Yes.
Or is there kind of like, boop, 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 like, you know, immediately they're setting
set up
you up
from,
for kind of like, this is supposed to be one that we like and this is one that we don't like.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I think as a viewer, it plays into kind of like all of our stereotypes and biases that we're wanting to kind of categorize these people into hero and villain.
Yep.
And then when you add this layer of like relationships and love and people's vulnerability and the crazy shit they say.
Oh, I know.
Because I don't know what's going to crack you more wide open than kind of this whole search for love.
Yes.
Am I lovable?
Yes.
And am I more lovable than that person right next to me?
I know. And I like that person or I don't like that person. And how can they like that person and me? But, it seems fraught with danger. Surely they have psychologists on hand to be helpful and...
Yeah.
I mean, I know they did in Big Brother House, they would have a psychologist.
Yeah, and she'd come on and talk in the show sometimes as well, Carmen.
Carmen, I remember.
Yeah. But they only did that for the first few seasons.
Yeah.
And this is all happening when I was in, like, undergrad psychology. So,
yeah.
But she was a Brisbane-based psychologist and went down to the Gold Coast to do it.
But, I mean, those kind of situations, they're not real. They're manufactured. They're hyper... I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's just so much, right? It's so much. I mean, at one minute you're having a date with this person, then you know that that person is going out on a date with the person that sleeps in the bed next to you in the mansion or what, like
in the share house.
In the share house.
They're in bunks.
It must be completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
To your senses and to your sense of self as well.
And then
imagine
they ply them up with alcohol as well and just, you know, smack them on the bottom and go perform monkey.
Yeah. It's intense. And interestingly, I was looking at, you know, the stats around the success of The Bachelor for actual long-lasting love.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it better than the US.
Yes.
From what I can tell.
Yeah.
There are more couples that are still together as Australian bachelors and bachelorettes than there have been in the States.
Yes.
Like of 17 years in the States, apparently only two of them are still together.
Yeah.
Not a great strike rate.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas we've had quite a number who are still...
Yeah, which is interesting, like, because, you know, like, I listen to everything that Osher Ginsberg does,
mm-hmm.
You know, and he's very kind of like, oh, you know, it's not trashy, it's helping people find love and all of that. And I think that when you look at those stats, you're a little bit like, okay, like... You do, he says that the producers intentionally are more trying to set it up as a happy story.
Yeah.
But of course you have to have the
You have to have the drama.
Otherwise people don't just want to watch a happy story.
I do, but I'm a hopeless romantic.
Yeah. So it is interesting. Like, I don't know how they, I think it must be really strange to come out of a show.
Yeah.
And then actually have to, like, live in secret for 2 months
exactly,
or something.
While things are still airing.
Yeah. And then, like, it would be this completely new re-establishing of an actual relationship on the outside.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, though, too, like, there would be such pressure to, for those relationships to stay together.
Mm.
So, you know, the controversy with last season where that, like, honey badger guy just...
He didn't choose anyone.
Didn't choose anyone.
He's like, nah. Yeah, that was big time controversial.
Whereas I felt like with Sophie Monk as well, like, she chose that guy
because
she's like, shit, I've got to choose someone.
Yeah, it felt like that, didn't it?
And that she's thinking, like, nah, you're all duds.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, I've got to choose someone. I'll go through the motions of, like, whoops, we couldn't make it work.
It definitely felt like that.
Which I think is really sad. I also felt like she's amazing. And I felt like they sent duds in.
They really did.
With her.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe I'm projecting as well because we're kind of a similar age.
Yeah.
And most of the bachelorettes are younger as well. Yeah. So, like, in their 20s. And I'm like... Like, so there were lots of, like, young frat boys that they sent in with her.
I know,
like,
it just seemed completely mismatched and odd. And
yeah. And then I kind of, I suppose, got a little bit sad because I'm like, someone in their late 30s, are they just, like, struggling to find anyone eligible?
Yeah.
That's her whole problem. Yep. You guys have got the entire nation to search around for.
I know, and you haven't done it, so...
So, you know, and she was all kind of like, it's so hard for me to find someone normal and someone real and all of that. And then, of course, they just sent in all these bozos who weren't normal and weren't real. It's just kind of reinforced her struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But she's found love now.
Yes.
She chatted someone up on a plane.
Well, here's the other thing. We have this, like, very strong desire to make everyone find love.
Yes.
I'm pointing my finger at Nicole. Like, you find love now.
Yeah.
This must happen.
I know. And there's a, you know, that gets to a certain age and there's familial pressure and there's societal pressure and there's, you know, like, you have to love you and you're the longest relationship you're going to have. So sort that situation out first. If you want to add another person to it, more power to you. And if you don't, also more power to you.
Like, I just love it if you went in as, like, this coach into the mansion. It was like, we're going to bring in someone to talk to you about this whole situation. You just stood up and you went, right, girls, it's all about inner love. Just work on that first.
It's true, though, yeah. Am I being – I'm stepping on your toes there as a professional.
No, of course it's true. And I think that's what makes it such good TV, is because I think even if you did feel very you know, like, our relationship with ourselves is always tenuous, like any relationship, you're going to have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
But you can see the people going into the house that just feel a bit more comfortable with themselves.
Yes.
And those that don't.
Yep.
But even then, if you were one of those ones that's on the more comfortable spectrum, I think the situation would just, like, bring out every single vulnerability
that
you have.
Well, I can't even imagine, like, there are couples that are together still from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and they would have to, while being in this relationship with this person in secret, while we're waiting for it to screen, be watching them.
Yeah.
Like, making out with the guy who came second or the girl who came second. And it's just...
Yeah.
Oh.
It's intense.
Yeah. I just cannot even imagine.
Because having not watched this most recent season, there's this whole controversy about this girl called Abby.
Yeah.
Who was very, like, I don't know, sex pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who actually owned her sexuality.
Mm, yeah. Apparently. Mm. Yeah, because we've not watched it.
No.
But, and just the hate that she's copping for how, like, hot and heavy Yeah. Got, and she got down to the final two.
Yeah.
And then was dumped.
Yeah, exactly.
And Australia was like, yes!
Which is so weird, isn't it? I mean, I haven't watched it. I don't know the personality kind of things. Mm. But the idea that she can't say on a beach with a semi-naked man that she finds very attractive, that she's horny, like, is really weird. We have a very weird hang-up about sex.
Yes.
And particularly women wanting sex. Like, it's just a very weird thing, you know?
Yes, but it is just the Madonna whore thing again.
Yes, completely. Oh.
So, and, like, I don't know where that comes from. The need to have to, it's just years of kind of like gender politics, I think.
Exactly. That's it. We can't break it all in one Bachelor series.
Yeah. It's even one of my favourite shows on TV. Have you seen that show called Snog, Marry, Avoid?
I have seen it, yes. It's what a hideous concept, but yes.
I know.
Explain it to anyone who hasn't seen it, right?
Well, I love a makeover show, so like any makeover show in the world is going to hook me in. Again, the psychology of that, I don't know. We'll have to do Queer Eye sometime.
Oh, my goodness.
Just unpick that.
Do you
want
to do Queer Eye
next
time?
We should do Queer Eye, yeah.
Look at that on the fly, guys.
We're doing Queer Eye, it's happening. But yes. I just have that thing. Like, I remember when the Oprah show used to do makeover shows, and I would just be sitting there, like, as a 10-year-old, just being like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'll pick the psychology of that next time. So Snog, Marry, Avoid is basically a make-under show because they get people – and I watched it originally when I was in the UK.
Right.
And so that's where the format comes from.
Yeah.
And so they do a similar version here. They've called it something different, actually. Anyway, doesn't matter. So Snog, Marry, Avoid is they get someone who kind of, like, is overly dressed or, like, dressed up in a costumey kind of way, underdressed, showing too much skin, too much fake tan,
extensions,
all of that kind of stuff. So those people who are kind of always, like, really, really, really done up.
Yep.
And the Snog, Marry, Avoid is that they get them to, like, they show their picture to strangers on the street and say, would you snog, marry, or avoid this person?
It's so horrible, isn't it?
And then they give them a make-under, so just make them kind of wear, like, normal clothes and normal makeup and stuff, and then they do snog, marry, avoid again.
And they go, difference, It's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah. But the whole point of it is kind of like you want to be the one that people want to marry. Apparently.
Once again.
Because you don't just want to be snoggable. Because that means snog and leave.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to be the avoid.
Oh, my goodness. So much judgment in here, isn't there?
But I think it comes from that it's kind of like it's a coffee shop game, basically.
Ah.
Where you sit watching people walk down the street and you just label them snog, marry, avoid.
Oh, I've never played that in a tea or coffee shop.
That's because you've been married since you were 15.
It's not true. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But anyway, so Bachelor's kind of like a big version of Snog, Marry, Avoid, right?
Pretty much.
And the producers are telling you who we need to avoid. And so they're basically saying Abby, the sexualized one, is she's the one you snog.
Ah, but not marry.
But Chelsea, the winner.
She's the one you marry.
She's the one you marry.
Wow.
And, like, why can we not have both within the same person?
Exactly.
Mm.
Oh, it's so weird, isn't it? Our hang-ups and weird kind of judgments around people and their behaviour and their appearance. And interesting.
It is.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Would you, if a client came to you and said, I'm thinking about going on The Bachelor, what would you say to them?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think it's so fraught. I think here's the thing. I think when you mention the idea that there are psychologists on these shows.
Yes.
I really don't want to open up a whole can of worms, but like our ethical code says a whole bunch of things.
Mm.
And one thing it says is that you need to basically like the medical code do no harm.
Yeah.
Or participate in anything that could do psychological harm.
Mm, that Hippocratic Oath thing.
Yeah. Mm. But when it comes to so these shows are happening whether there are psychologists involved or not.
Yes.
So the role is to try and minimize that harm.
Yeah.
But yeah, also we're sort of meant to be guided by evidence base.
Mm.
So that's kind of where my mind goes to first of all. Is like, let's do some research on, like, and I think probably looking realistically at repercussions on psychological health after going on these shows.
So there are, I don't know how many seasons, I did take note of how many seasons of The Bachelor in Australia there were. because I made notes. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bachelor seasons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bachelorette seasons. Well, there's the 5th bachelorette is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot. I mean, that's what, 25 people each that go in as the as the contestants trying to get the love of the person.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people that you could study.
Trying to win love.
Trying to win love. Isn't that interesting? Because I went on Wikipedia and it was talking about the winner of the season being the person who was chosen by the bachelor or bachelorette. Yes. And it's just so – it's such a bizarre thing to think of them as the winner and the runner-up. Like it's just
– I know.
Like a beauty pageant or a
– Yes.
Game of football.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah. It is.
But it obviously rates –
Yeah, no, but I think that the whole idea of, like, competition when it comes to love and our worth is just, like, so ingrained. It probably does have some kind of evolutionary basis in terms of, like, competing for the best quality sperm out there in the tribe.
Which one of these people can club me over the head and drag me to their cave and I'm all strong and, like, is that...
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like that thing where you've, you know, like choosing people for the football team and it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to be the one left on the shelf.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the last person picked.
The last person picked.
I know. But, so. Yeah, it would be interesting.
Mm.
We should put a challenge out there. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a grant available for someone to do this study.
Yeah. It would be amazing. I think it's just anecdotal at the moment.
Yeah.
But I've listened to a few interviews of people from various reality shows that are just kind of like, you can't work afterwards. And, you know, if you get a certain level of infamy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think what's interesting these days, and we're not young, we're not like...
Speak for yourself.
We're not influencers. You know, because some people do spin reality TV into profitable influencer, radio announcer kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think the reality is, though, that that's like, you know, statistically low.
Yeah, and also early adopters, right? Mm. So the Chrissy Swans from Big Brother and the Sam Frost from, you know, Bachelor, Bachelorette. Like, there was one more, I think. Reggie Bird even, I think, got some kind of radio thing. Like, there's very few
She
of
really
them.
Struggled too.
Yeah.
I heard some interview with her.
Yeah, well, she also went, she had an eye situation where she was going blind.
That's
so,
right, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And if you're looking for love in this way, it's a pretty rough way to do it, I would have thought.
Yeah. I think it's hard because you do... Our biological clock is a real thing. Mm. So whether or not it's not just society's pressure that is like, we need to see you coupled up.
Yeah.
It also does come from us because it's one of the biggest things that you're ever going to do. It's one of the biggest decisions you can make.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of research about the best thing for a woman's career is not what jobs or promotion she goes for, but who she marries.
Yeah.
It's a massive decision that kind of can dictate everything. So no wonder we put so much pressure on making the right choice.
Yeah.
And then you want to look at the people around you in a really kind of like huntress kind of way. Be like, how can I be the strongest of the pack?
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is that you're amazing and so much of finding love is about luck.
Mm-hmm.
And putting yourself in the right kind of situations that luck plus being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, if you're looking for love and you're on the couch eating Cheetos, then, you know, it's not going to happen for you.
And then just not. Signing up for The Bachelor.
You've got to be out meeting people, for sure.
Yeah.
And trying some people on for size.
Yes. Which is very heart-rending because it's like you're living your own personal bachelor every Saturday night, aren't you?
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, literally, I can only imagine.
Yeah. So maybe we should just finish up with a little bit of a shout-out of compassion for those people out there trying to find love because I was in your shoes for many a year.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. But you need to remember that you're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about just this person's amazing. How can I make myself winnable so that I can win their love? Just be yourself and the right person will love you for everything that you are.
Exactly. It's very true. Because that's, you know, that's the main thing. You don't want to be pretending every day.
Because otherwise you'll be pretending for every day of your life.
Uh-huh. Imagine how exhausting that would be.
It would be pretty exhausting.
Yeah, no, you've got to be yourself.
And you don't want to be a Madonna or a whore.
No.
You want to be both?
You want to be both? Or none? All of the above. You do you. That's what I say.
You do you.
You do you.
Okay.
So next time, mm-hmm. we're going to talk, now that we've worked it out, right. we're going to talk about Queer Eye.
Let's do it.
Fabulous.
So excited about awesome. Queer Eye.
Yes. But in the meantime.
Hug your babies.
And be kind to yourself.
Indeed.
And each other. And we will talk to you next time.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye, Rach. Hi, fabulous listeners. If you like listening to us on Pop the Kettle On, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, share us with your friends. Subscribe, like, rate, all of the things. And hit us up a like on Facebook as well, because we post lots of interesting stuff along there. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye.